Cherry goes outside and leads you to the side of her house. So the plan is simple enough. You've already had an interaction with the people that are following you, and it was harmless, which will put them at ease. So we're just going to lure them down an alley and then nab them.
What, like a kidnapping?
I prefer the term abduction or capture. It makes it sound more sophisticated, professional.
Okay, no. I said I didn't want to do anything illegal.
Look, Mr. Paul, I'm a lawyer, and let me assure you that attacking someone who's been following you around, stalking you, that is considered self-defense, if your lawyer's good, and I am a good lawyer.
Okay, but the kidnapping part, that doesn't extend.
Not necessarily. Have you ever heard of a citizen's arrest?
Vaguely.
Oh, it's like a bounty hunting. My dad used to do those.
Yes, it's a bounty hunting. These men probably are wanted criminals. We can look into whether or not there's a bounty. That's permitted.
It's legal to kidnap someone and hold them against their will on the excuse that you think they might be worth a bounty?
With a good lawyer. Yes.
Otherwise, how would you capture bandit lords, Paul? You'd bring them in and they'd be like, oh, that's the wrong bandit lord. You're under arrest.
Well, without a good lawyer, that is how it works. But with a lawyer, you can get away with it.
That's why my dad says to get a lawyer.
Indeed. The difference between murder and an adventure is a lawyer.
Oh my god.
See, this is exactly why law is stupid, and society is stupid. What's the difference between this and crime on a fundamental level?
Can you afford a lawyer?
I refuse to pay you.
Well, then there you are. These incidences still happen, but with less regularity and with more upfront justification.
I prefer all my justifications to be intrinsic, thank you.
Cherry opens up a stable in her backyard, and she lets out a horse, which she begins to hitch to a carriage.
You just keep a horse in that tiny shed in your backyard?
Oh no, Zelda here's just visiting with me for now. I've got a farm out in the countryside that she normally stays at. Anyway, we're going to need one of you to drive. Who wants to volunteer?
Oh, I will.
Not you.
Okay, I'll do it.
Actually, not you either.
But I don't want to do it.
One of you has to, or otherwise the people following you won't follow you.
I don't like horses. I don't get along with horses.
Oh, what's not to get along with? Zelda loves people, don't you, Zelda?
No, horses are terrifying. They've got creepy long faces and weird teeth.
Zelda should be more afraid of you with your long claws and nasty fangs. Zelda's an herbivore.
They are opportunistic predators. You know that they eat baby birds?
So do cats.
Yeah, but they're not secretive about it.
Mr. Paul, I promise that Zelda's not going to eat you. It'll be fine.
Okay, you can say that. But did you know that there's carnivorous caterpillars? How did a caterpillar get carnivorous? One day it just decides, oh, I'm gonna eat another bug. And then it's all downhill from there. The first horse that figures it out.
Mr. Paul.
Caterpillars are tiny, so that's not so bad. But like a horse is big enough to eat a person.
Mr. Paul. You will be sitting behind her at an elevated position, and she is going to be hitched to the carriage. You will be safe, I swear. Zelda will not eat you.
Elvis should do it. Elvis should drive.
I want to drive.
I don't want Elvis to drive.
But he wants to drive.
I want
to
drive.
I don't. I don't want that.
I don't
want to
drive.
Okay, fine. I will drive. And I'd like for Elvis to sit next to me. Would that be acceptable?
Where are we going to be? In the carriage?
Yes, it'll be like a chauffeur sort of thing.
Okay.
Yes, I'll have to make a note. Paul is terrified of horses.
I'm not terrified. It's just you. Nobody should trust them.
Do you feel this way about bovines? I mean, I just want to point out that Mr. Lowry here is a lizard man, and he could probably kill and eat you.
Well, he...
I have thought about it a couple times, but don't worry.
Right. So you go ahead and get in the carriage alone with Mr. Lowry. We're going to draw the attention of the people following you, lead them down an alley, then we're going to leap out, grab them, and then throw them in the carriage. Simple as that.
Take a long look at Lowry.
I'm not going to eat you. I had a whole chicken before we left, and I've never eaten that person who could talk to me before. It'd be a first.
But you were thinking about it.
I mean, do you ever worry about, like, what if I was in a famine? Who would I eat first?
I'm the guy you would eat first?
Well, I don't want to eat Elvis. He's still listening to me. You don't listen to a thing I say.
I feel like you kind of need the ideological pushback.
You're not pushing back very well.
All right, come on, let's get in the carriage. Cherry pushes you in and then shuts the door behind you. Hop up here with me, Mr. Elvis.
Do horses really eat baby birds?
I understand they like the calcium in their bones.
People bones are bigger. Do horses know that we have bones in us?
Just keep your voice down and Zelda won't find out.
Oh, okay. Good idea.
Cherry gets the carriage moving. She starts driving around the streets, and Elvis, if you're paying attention...
I'm not. I'm like waving at families and kids. Look how high up I am. Hello?
Okay, then in that case, eventually Cherry pulls off into an alleyway. She stops the cart and says, all right, everybody get out. Come on, let's go.
What do we do?
Get down the alley, quick, and then hide.
Oh, okay.
Cherry leads you midway down the alley, then hides behind some trash cans and stuff.
Okay, what now?
Soon as your tails come by, we catch them.
Like we just jump out and hit them?
Okay, this is a bit of an oversight on my part. We should have talked about how I want them to be attacked. I'd like them to be alive, Mr. Paul.
I mean, yeah, that's important to know.
I assumed that when I said we were going to kidnap them that you thought we would want them alive.
You said something about bounties. We can do bounties alive or dead.
We want information, Paul. So aim for the legs, arms, try to incapacitate. Don't kill.
Right. I'm going to knock them out with my mace.
Hold on. What do you mean? You're going to hit them with the mace in the head?
Yeah, just whang. And then they'll fall unconscious.
Elvis, sweetheart, it's a mace. If you hit them with it, they will die.
Not if I hit them, like, just right.
That sounds really difficult. Can I ask you to aim for their hands, arms, legs, okay?
Okay, got it. Hands, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Hands, shoulder, knees and toes, knees and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose.
Elvis,
please,
Mr. Elvis.
Don't hit any of those knees and toes.
Okay, very good. That's very good. Please be quiet.
I got it memorized.
You wait in silence for a while, and then you hear the footsteps coming down the alley. Blandar's talking. You sure that they went down this way? Skeeves goes, yeah, I saw them turn down this way, now they're gone. Then they walk to where you guys are, and they're within spitting distance of you. They turn and they go, oh, there they are.
Leap up at them.
Ah! Whoa, whoa! They're surprised they stumble backwards into each other.
I bash Sassafras in the knees.
All right, from behind Sassafras, you run up and just sweep his legs out from underneath him. There's a satisfying crunch. Lowry, you're up.
Is that the signal? Hold action. Is that the signal?
Cherry leaps up and the ruins are flying. Ice forms around Skeeves' legs, and then she encases him in a bubble of water. Skeeves is now drowning. He realizes too late what's going on and inhales a big gulp. Nebuchadnezzar pulls up his own runes and he begins casting a spell.
Hey, you nerd. Magic isn't even real.
Lowry, you say this, and you feel kind of a funny vibration in your gullet. And Nebuchadnezzar's runes scatter. He looks a little confused and then tries to collect them, and when he completes his spell, zap, he produces a tiny little bolt of static electricity. He hits you on the nose, and it kind of hurts, but not in any really lasting way.
Ow.
That is your turn, by the way. Blandar looks around for like a second and then sees Cherry's casting spells. He pulls out his axe, and he swings for her.
Abort block.
Paul, you dive in the way, and you shove his axe aside. He misses the swing. We're now at the top of 12. Things have officially started. Paul, you aborted your turn. So, Elvis.
Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Swing for Blandar.
He pulls out his second axe and parries it.
Please don't hit any of those. Any of those.
Lowry.
Okay, you see, you think I'm fooled by this? Static electricity is not magic. It's a naturally occurring phenomenon.
Cherry drops her water bubble but keeps the eye shackles. Skeeves then hacks up a bunch of water. Nebuchadnezzar goes for another spell, but his runes fly out in all directions, and he can't seem to control them. He's desperately trying to catch them and slot them into place. Lowry, you're struck in the chest by another useless little static shock. Nebuchadnezzar turns pale. He starts to panic.
Ow.
Oh God.
Okay, that hurts. Stop.
Lowry, your gullet continues to vibrate and tremble. It feels a little warm.
Excuse me, I've got a bit of indigestion.
Paul, you're in Blandar's way, so he turns his attention to you. He swings both axes at you. It's a blur, but you just barely duck under one of the swings. You lose the end of your whiskers. All right, next round, Paul.
All right, try and grab Blandar.
You go in for the grab and you rake your claws across his chest, but he elbows you in the nose and gets out of it.
Ow, jeez.
Elvis.
Hands, shoulders.
You swing, but aiming for the hands means you're just aiming for the weapon. He parries it again. Come on, he yells. Lowry.
Okay, you see all these things that are floating in the air? You call them runes? That's just magnets. That's the Aurora Borealis.
Nebuchadnezzar gathers the runes again, and another tiny electric shock comes out. And he goes, what are you doing? How?
Okay, if you do that one more time, I am going to eat your head.
How are you doing this?
I'll do it by unhinging my jaw.
Skeeves goes for a sharp inhale of breath, and as he does, Cherry englobes him in water again.
Dang, woman, you are terrifying.
A girl likes to be creative. Elvis, Blandar wheels around and takes a full swing at you with his axe. Your evasion's not as good. He hits you. Luckily, your armor blocks a lot of it, but bang! That's gonna leave a dent. He gets you in the rib, under the arms.
Ow.
Okay, next round. Paul.
Go to grab the guy again.
All right, this time you get your arm around his neck and your hand in his hair. Elvis.
All right, Paul's holding him, so wind up for a great big haymaker to his knees.
All right, and blam! You blow his knee out. Lowry.
All right, I am going to bite you if you do not lay on the ground right now.
Nebuchadnezzar says, and then he turns around to run.
Hey,
It's okay. Cherry turns around. She gestures her runes. The guy gets frozen at the legs. He falls down.
Heck, lady, what do you even need us for?
I am getting tired. Please hurry up.
Okay, so Paul, You would think that Blandar would be done, but he is frothing at the mouth and crazy. He throws his head back into your face. Yeah, that's going to be a black eye. Top of the round, Paul!
All right, kick him away from me.
You kick Blandar a few feet away, and he falls to the ground. Elvis!
He's vulnerable! Go for the arm! Gah!
Hwang! You pulp his shoulder. Blandar continues to fight for like a few seconds and then kind of slows down. It looks like Skeeves is passed out, so Cherry drops the water globe. She goes,
okay, that looks like we got it. Okay, load everyone into the carriage, quick, before someone comes.
You said no illegal. This felt very legal.
Okay, look, you know, bounty hunting is dangerous. I was hoping it would go a little faster and a little easier.
Go grab Nebuchadnezzar. This one's mine. I defeated him through philosophy. You all heard. You heard me, right?
I was kind of busy, Lowry.
Well, Cherry saw it. She can tell you. He was defeated because he was wrong.
I did see that. I have a lot of questions, actually. I've never seen someone disable runes like that.
Well, the secret is the runes aren't real.
Never mind. It gives me something to think about. Okay, come on. Let's go. Get everybody on board. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Is Blandar gonna be okay?
He'll make it. I'm sure he'll make it. Come on.
Okay, Elvis, help me out.
You guys load your hostages into the carriage. Cherry gets up on top, and she starts the horse moving. Elvis, you're sitting next to her, and Cherry is sweating like, wow.
You ought to make yourself a glass of water.
Thank you for thinking of me. I'm going to give the magic a rest for a second, though. The carriage heads for the south gate, goes right on through, and then keeps on going. Everyone settles down and gets relatively comfortable before Cherry talks to you guys again. Paul, Lowry, how's the hostages? Are they breathing? Everyone still alive?
I mean, I don't know, are they?
Blandar doesn't sound great, but the others are alive.
They're with us, in like the mortal sense.
Nebuchadnezzar is perfectly fine, if wordless. Sassafras has a broken leg and looks a little pale, but is otherwise okay. Skeeves doesn't look great, and he's all wet, but is alive.
I'm really sorry about this, guys. This all kind of escalated very quickly.
Skeeves says, Oh, you feel out of control right now. I was drowning to death on dry land, but you feel out of control.
Actually, the land you were on was wet because of the water, so you were drowning in wet land.
You shut up! I have known you for less than 30 minutes, and I hate you.
You know, that is a fine attitude from a man who has made himself into a cautionary tale. You didn't have to sign up for this line of work, but here you are. Here he is, everybody. Here this man is. I hope that we can all learn something from him.
Yeah, bring a snorkel.
No, Elvis, the lesson is do not be in his position in the first place.
Well, I don't know, Lowry. If I think of it from his perspective, he didn't know he was going to fight a water mage today, and that seems like his big problem. If he brought a snorkel, he would have been fine.
Elvis, how is a man going to fight and breathe through a snorkel at the same time? It would just be cutting his nose off to spite his own face.
Well, if he cut his own nose off, Lowry, he couldn't breathe at all.
Exactly. That's my point exactly.
So what you're saying is, he should learn to transcend breathing. Miss Cherry, can you do that?
What, learn to hold your breath indefinitely or not breathe at all?
Yeah, you're a wizard. Could you do that?
Not personally, no, but it's not outside the bounds of magic. With the right training, someone could learn to not breathe at all, or at least breathe water.
See, every bit of training, every bit of exposure. You don't think I need water breathing until you get beaten by Cherry Deckard.
He wouldn't have to learn at all if he wasn't fighting Cherry in the first place.
But he did fight Cherry, and now he's learned an important lesson. That's good, right?
No. I mean, not necessarily. Sir, what lesson do you feel like you learned?
Skeeve spits in your face.
Oh, very nice.
I don't want to encourage you to talk more, Lowry, but that does feel like something that you'd say.
I have not. I would not. I have never spat on anyone.
Oh, you know what would be a good power? If you could suck up all the water when you were underwater and then spit it at someone at really high pressure.
That's not even a power. That's just the natural ability of a fish.
Miss Deckard, could you have a magic power that did that?
Yes, but the entire thing is all very personal. I mean, it depends a lot on your inner self. No one expresses magic the same way. I mean to say, you could, but I don't know if I could teach that type of thing. In fact, there's quite a few esoteric abilities that can't really be handed from master to student. You'll find that many members of the Adventuring Guild fit that description. Actually, Elvis, your father, and you should know this, I'm surprised if you don't, your father has a sort of preternatural skill with the sword. Some think it's a type of clairvoyance.
Oh, no, my dad just says he practices good.
Innate magic is developed and honed through practice. But it's still present.
I've practiced sword fighting with my dad my whole life, and I never noticed that.
You've never noticed him blocking your attacks practically before you make them?
Oh, no. He does that, but it's because he's so much better than me. He says he watches your chest, so that way he can see the rotation of your shoulders, and it's much better than watching the sword.
Yes, but certainly you've realized that you've never come close to his level. Your mother is the same way with a bow and arrow, as I've read.
Oh, no. My mom always says I'm really, really close, and I'm going to get it any day now.
When your mother shoots an arrow, the arrow is pulled towards the target she intends it to hit, and it's done without her thinking about it or pulling any runes. If I were you, and I were still on speaking terms with my parents, Mr. Elvis, I might ask your parents about their magical abilities.
Well, my mom is also a mage. She knows a lot of protection spells and stuff that she uses on my dad. I could ask her about those.
Well, maybe starting with the fundamentals of magic could be a place to look into. You may have your own untapped potential.
That's what I'm trying to learn.
Though some of us just have no magical ability at all. Is that right?
There's a lot of debate about the subject, Mr. Paul. If you're feeling glum about the idea, don't be.
Well, nothing's ever shown up for me.
Lowry, I need to ask you, what exactly did you do to that mage?
I mean, nothing. Anything that happened, he did to himself.
I mean, with the runes, how did you stop him from gathering his runes?
They're not real in the first place.
That's not a very adequate answer, Mr. Lowry. You see, there's certain rules to thaumaturgy, and I feel like you've broken them.
I mean, it's fiction. You can just change the rules.
But what I'm getting at is that stopping a spell should theoretically always require more energy than starting it. Spellcasting is very emotional and very dependent on the person doing it. I'm not exactly convinced that you simply disbelieved his runes out of existence. If you could use your own magical potential to disbelieve magic into not working, then your own magical potential would not work. It's a paradox and defies everything that's known about magic.
I mean, you can disbelieve your lying eyes, or you can accept that it happened.
I'd just like you to describe your process for me, just if you could.
Well, I open my mouth, and the truth comes out.
Stop me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is that you have no idea why this is a big thing to me.
Look, I'm sorry that I haven't read all of your magical books to understand what kind of fairy tales you believe in, and that I deal in what is instead of what I'd like to be.
Cherry pulls off into a smaller road, which is heading towards a farmhouse. She goes, well, we've got one more mystery, I suppose, but we'll focus on one at a time. For now, I think we should direct all of our attention to our new friends.